This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإن عاقبتم فعاقبوا بمثل ما عوقبتم به ولئن صبرتم لهو خير للصابرين واصبر وما صبرك إلا بالله ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تحزن عليهم ولا تك في ضيق مما يمكرون إن الله مع الذين اتقوا والذين هم محسنون. Starting with ayah number 126 tonight, which is basically the concluding last three verses we're going to do today of Surah An-Nahl, where we complete this surah. According to Atha ibn Yasar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that this surah was all revealed in Mecca. And right from the very beginning, we've been mentioning that this is a Makki surah, and the gist and the content of a Makki surah is always Tawheed, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, talking about different creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that people understand His oneness, His power, and so that they can focus only and only on his iman rather than committing shirk that the Arabs were famous for and what the Prophet ﷺ came to denounce. However, Atha ibn Yasar says that these last three verses were revealed at the end of or after Surah Uhud, and they were revealed in Medina. And as we know, the first jihad, the first warfare, it took place in Madinatul Munawwarah. And these verses, they talk about revenge, they talk about fighting back, they talk about defending yourself, and that took place in Medina. So therefore, it makes sense that these verses would have been revealed there. And according to this riwayah of Atha ibn Yasar, he says that the Prophet ﷺ, after Ghazwat Uhud, when 70 of the Sahaba were killed, including the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba were very upset. And in this mood of being upset and being vengeful against those people that had done them so wrong and had killed their most prominent Sahaba, including the uncle of the Prophet ﷺ, they said things which were contrary to the ideals of jihad as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said on one occasion that when we meet them again, we will kill or we will make muthla of 30 of those people in place of one of ours. And the Sahaba, they started saying things of the nature that they said that we're going to take them and disfigure these people until we do it in such a way that no previous Arab nation, Arabs of the past, have never done this, what's called muthla, before. Muthla means disfiguring somebody, chopping one's nose off, chopping one's ears off. This is called muthla. So they were upset at the course of events that took place in Ghazwat Uhud, and that's why they started saying these things. So in response to the Prophet ﷺ and the Sahaba saying these things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, the first verse. What is it? وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you are going to take revenge, if you are going to fight, then take revenge similar to how you've been dealt with. This is the justice of Islam. So yes, human nature, when it becomes angry, wants to become vengeful, then doesn't care. So you have all of these people, for example, a person who gets thrown out of his job and he wants to take revenge on his boss. So he takes a gun and he shoots out 15, 20 people. Without any reason, innocent people are killed because of the anger of this one person. And in this situation, that what happened in Ghazwat Uhud was understandable, that people would be angry and they would be upset. And that's why they said these things. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calmed them down and said that if you're going to take revenge, then you can only take revenge in a way that people have dealt with you. If one of yours gets killed, then you have the right to kill that one person. If one of yours gets injured, then you have the right to injure the next person. But the point was that fighting was not ordained to basically kill people. It was not ordained to initiate battles. It was ordained as a means of self-defense to make sure that people just didn't lay down their arms and just be attacked while not fighting back. So the allowance was given to fight back. And that's why in another verse of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ بِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. The people that have been fought against, they have been given permission to fight back. They've been given permission. The wording is very special. They've been permitted to fight back. And when the permission is given, it's usually after there is prohibition, right? There's prohibition, you're not allowed to fight, no arms are to be raised. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, okay, now you have permission. So, أُذِنَ لِلَّذِينَ يُقَاتَلُونَ. And then the ayah goes on to say, لِأَنَّهُمْ ظُلِمُوا. Because of the fact that they were, ظُلْم was made against them. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ نَصْرِهِمْ لَقَدِيرٌ. And then it goes on to describe further the ظُلْم that was done upon such people. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those people that were thrown out of their houses without any right, simply because of the fact that they said, رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Our Lord is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then after that, Allah says that this concept of fighting and jihad, it's not something that was only allowed for the Muslims and for this ummah. But this has been going on right from the very beginning. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضُهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ لَهُدِّمَتْ صَوَامِعُ وَبِيَعُ وَصَلَوَاتٌ وَمَسَاجِدُ يُذْكَرُ فِيهَا اسْمُ اللَّهِ كَثِيرًا. The places of worship from the beginning of time, they would have been destroyed. Whether they are churches, synagogues, masajid, whichever religion practiced, there were always people wanting to attack their religion and wanting them to get away from the straight path. And if it wasn't for the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had allowed fighting back, then these places of worship would have been destroyed. And this was actually what the disbelievers wanted, to destroy Islam, to destroy the Muslims, and to make sure the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not pronounced, and so that they could continue with their shirk and their polytheism, their association of partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they wanted to continue that. And if they had a choice and the Muslims had not fought back, then truly the Muslims would have been destroyed and they would not have been able to save Islam and let it continue and flourish. So here Allah says, وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. If you're going to take revenge, then only the way that you've been dealt with, you're allowed to take revenge, not more than that. And there are other verses in the Quran that say something similar. فَمَنْ اِعْتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَعْتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدَعْتُمْ بِهِ. بِمِثْلِ مَا اَعْتَدُوا. If people are making transgression against you, then only make transgression similar to the transgression that has been done against you. Fight back the same way that they are fighting against you. But on top of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the rest of the verse something very special. وَلَئِنْ صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِصَابِرِينَ. If you are to be patient, then this is the best thing for the people of Sabr. And that's amazing. That on the one hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is allowing for people to take revenge. And then on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if instead of taking revenge, you make sabr, and if there's a scope for making sabr, then this is even better for you. So why then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling people to make sabr? There are many verses in the Quran that talk about this issue. Idfa billati hiya ahsan. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, defend yourself in that way which is the best. And the result of that will be, فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. And suddenly, the enmity that exists between you and a person, he will become like a very warm friend of yours. So, this will happen when a person makes sabr. So really, there are two types of difficulties that a person faces in one's life. One type of difficulty is the difficulty that is what one says are natural occurrences. Person becomes sick, he slips and falls, he breaks his foot, he develops an illness. So in that case, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has really no option but to have sabr. So a person in that situation, it's easier for him to make sabr. However, there are situations that are problems that occur because of human beings against a person. A neighbor, he gives you a hard time. A relative gives you a hard time. Disbeliever gives you a hard time when you are trying to give him da'wah. In all of these situations, a person can stand up and take revenge, but then the outcome of that is that it becomes tit for tat, and it becomes fighting, arguing, and it goes around in a circle. When a person makes sabr in that type of situation, what happens is that the situation, it becomes calm. It becomes the fighting, the circle of fighting, and the vicious circle, it will stop, it will calm down, and people can sit down and have a dialogue, and with a cooler head, with a calm brain, they can decide to work things out without having to fight. So this is the outcome of sabr. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed us in many places in the Quran, that when you're going through these difficulties, you're going through challenges, if a person is giving you a hard time, the best thing for you is to make sabr and to be patient and to respond in a way that is good and courteous and polite and gentlemanly like, rather than just becoming vicious and vengeful. This is what we're supposed to do. And the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated that, especially when things were going against him on a personal level. People were trying to abuse him on a personal level. Individually, the Prophet ﷺ never used to take revenge. Many instances, many stories that we've all heard about before in the past, how he used to make sabr. وَلَا إِن صَبَرْتُمْ لَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لِصَابِرِينَ. Indeed, if you make sabr, then that is best for the people who are making sabr. Then, in this verse, the next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directly. وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Before we go into this, if you remember last week, we talked about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us to make da'wah with hikmah and with a good speech and arguing with people in a way that is good. And then after that, this next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us to take, when a person has to take revenge, then he has to take revenge. So in that case, when a person is giving da'wah, he will face all types of situations. Sometimes the people will listen and then maybe not even practice it. But then there will be other people that will become insulting, and they will fight, will be ready to fight you. They will be ready to raise arms against you. And then, so in that situation, what is a person supposed to do? وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَعَاقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا عُوقِبْتُمْ بِهِ. Then, if you need to fight back, then you need to fight back in the way that they are fighting against you. So in the next ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam directly, and as I mentioned before, when the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is being addressed indirectly, we are also being addressed. Allah says, وَاصْبِرْ وَمَا صَبْرُكَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. Have sabr, have patience. And your patience is only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what that means is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is instructed to have sabr, be patient. And again, sabr by itself is not just to be patient. It has a lot of connotations, a lot of meanings. And all types of sabr are meant here. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Allah ma'as sabireen, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the people who make sabr. It means those people that make sabr in all of its contexts. Sabr, for example, as-sabr ala ta'a means to be steadfast upon good. As-sabr ala al-musibah, that means that a person is afflicted with a calamity or a problem and he has sabr on that. As-sabr anil ma'asiyah, a person, he is staying away from disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of these types of sabr are what is meant when Allah is telling us to make sabr. Okay, so when Allah is saying, wasbir, have sabr, it means be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be steadfast. It means stay away from the ma'asi. It means have sabr and patience when you are faced with difficulty and adversity. Then that is the situation in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. And not just the common understanding of sabr that we have is that if we are faced with a difficulty, we have sabr. Yes, that is one aspect of it. But no, all of the types of sabr are to be implemented if we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on our side. So this is what is meant here. Wasbir wa ma sabruka illa billah. Have sabr, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, he is with those people that have that type of sabr. Wa ma sabruka illa billah. وَلَا تَحْزَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Amazing, where the Prophet ﷺ is going through difficulty in his life and he is inviting people, he's being insulted, he's being called sha'ir, he's being called a kahin, a magician, he's being called a poet, a sha'ir. All of these different names he's being called while he is sincere in inviting people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that situation, and on top of that, he is upset that people are not becoming Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, وَلَا تَحْزَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ. Do not worry over them. And his worry was to such a degree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had to console him so many times. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُ مُؤْمِنِينَ. Maybe you're going to destroy yourself if they don't become believers. لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِن لَمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفًا. Maybe you're going to destroy yourself in following their footsteps if they don't have iman. Out of sorrow, you're going to destroy yourself. So, again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam to calm down, not to be worried, not to be upset. That guidance was in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not in his hands. He had to just make the effort. He even could not guide his beloved uncle Abu Talib, who supported him through thick and thin, through so many difficulties in his life. Abu Talib was there by his side, but he did not accept iman. So obviously, in these situations, the Prophet ﷺ would be worried. Allah says, وَلَا تَحْزَنَ عَلَيْهِمْ. And then as a human being, people are out to get you. They're out to prosecute you. They're out to persecute you. They're out to even make plans and plots to kill you. At the time of the hijrah of the Prophet ﷺ, all the tribes of Quraysh or the clans of Quraysh had got together and they had decided that simultaneously they're going to take spears and swords and kill him in one go so that the tribe of the Prophet ﷺ could not take revenge against all of them. So that is why the Prophet ﷺ migrated, because it got to a point where they were even willing to kill him. So Allah is saying here, وَلَا تَكُ فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Just imagine that same society that used to respect you and love you and call you as-sadiq, call you al-ameen. Those same people are sitting and making plans, evil plans against you. You know that dichotomy and the variation of the situations is very difficult for a person to endure. On the one hand, respect, love, affection, so much so that everyone trusts you and wants to be with you and takes your advice. And then immediately, as soon as you start calling towards Tawheed, you become a sahir, become a magician. Even the plots are made against you to kill you, na'udhu billah. So How could a person not be upset in that very difficult situation? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, وَلَا تَكُوا فِي ضَيْقٍ مِمَّا يَمْكُرُونَ. Don't be in ضَيْق. Don't be tight. Tight means when a person is really feeling like everything is closing in on him. He has no means of escape. So Allah is telling that don't be in this tightness because of the fact, because of the makr and the evil plans that they are making against you, O Prophet of Allah. So again, this is indirectly, it's addressing us believers also, that when a person stands up for the good, stands up for the right path, then he will have objections from his closest ones. He will have objections from the people that are near and dear to him. That, oh, yesterday you were partying with us and you were doing all of these things with us, and now you're giving fatwas that all of this is suddenly haram. What happened? You know, how come you just became a huge Sufi now? And you became, a sheikh now. And you started becoming so religious now. So the very people that yesterday were close to you, they're going to make life difficult for you. And this is what the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ الْإِسْلَامَ بَدَأَ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرَبَىٰ. Islam, it started off as a very strange religion. People regarded it as strange. And the Prophet ﷺ said that it will return into being a strange religion, where a person who wants to become religious, he wants to lead a religious lifestyle, people are going to turn against him, and they're going to say that what kind of a strange person has he become? He's become strange. He is not the same person that we knew yesterday. He has become completely different. So, in that type of situation, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to make sabr and do not feel that there's difficulty that you are experiencing. Remember that the Prophet ﷺ experienced much more difficult days than that. Much more difficulty than we could ever imagine he had to face. So we have to make the same type of sabr, inshallah. Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. This is the ultimate reward that a person can get. And this is the consolation, the solace that a person can get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for making sabr in those situations. That finally Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He is with you. He is with you when you're going through that difficulty. Not with the people that are against you, He is with you. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is with the people that have the taqwa, that are aware of Him, that express the taqwa of Him and the awareness of Him. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ, and also with those people that are muhsinin, basically means the people. There are many meanings of ihsan. Ihsan means perfection. Okay, so on top of taqwa, they perfect themselves, they perfect their faith, they perfect their deeds. So they are they perfect every single thing that is associated with Islam. Rather than just limiting themselves to the rituals, they make ihsan perfection in every single way. And وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ can also mean that somebody does bad to you and you turn around and you do good to them. So in the context of what is being said here and what is being mentioned, the difficulty that a person has to endure, so instead of doing bad against the people that are around you, that are doing bad against you, you turn around and do good to them. That is ihsan. That is doing a person a favor, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Another meaning of ihsan is ikhlas and sincerity. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those people that are mukhlisin, that are sincere in doing good. Means that when a person is giving da'wah sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will accept all that comes towards him. Otherwise, if a person is doing it for his own ulterior motives, then the first instance somebody stands up and says something bad to him, say, man, why do I have to deal with this? I didn't start doing this good work so that people could insult me. I'd rather just stay at home. So if a person is mukhlis, if he has a real ihsan and ikhlas in him, then he's not going to give up because of the fact that people are speaking ill of him or giving him a hard time, he will become more steadfast and he will do more dawah and he will engage himself even more when he goes through these difficulties. And that's why wherever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he talks about advising and calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's always the concept of sabr that is mentioned at the end of it. Okay? وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. As-sabr is mentioned after tawasi bil-haq, meaning advising people of the truth. And in Surah Luqman, the same thing is mentioned over there, where Luqman is telling his son to make establish the salah, order people to do good, and forbid them from evil. And what does he say? وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا أَصَابَكَ. Make sabr upon the difficulty that comes to you when you are giving dawah. So whenever a person is faced with or is doing dawah, he's doing good, he's calling people towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the natural inclination of people will be to give him a hard time. So he has to make sabr at that time. So with that, inshallah, we finish this surah, Surah An-Nahl. And inshallah, we will start a new surah next time. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.